Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got Andy Woods with us, and I can't wait to get to him. But before we do, I'm going to talk about a local conference. Then he's got a conference coming up at his church in Texas. Right now, it's the Men of Iron Conference happening in a couple weeks. This is February 28th. It's a one-day conference at One Way Christian Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Pastor Matt Truella. And he's, you might know him from Missionaries to the Preborn, DefyTyrants.com, Pastor David Roth, he's the pastor at One Way Christian Church, and Coach Dave, Dave Dobbenmeyer, coach, speaker, founder of Pass the Salt. So the website to register, menofironconference.org. And Andy Woods, welcome. Good to see you again, brother.
David, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. I love you. Appreciate your ministry, your voice, your sanity. but now, so it's your turn. You've got a conference coming to Sugar Land Bible Church. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's February 20th through 21st, all day Friday, culminating in a Shabbat meal, Friday evening, a banquet, and then all day Saturday, culminating in a Q&A session. This is our fifth annual prophecy conference. We started doing these because we just sense the world is changing and the world is turning against Israel. And this was pre-October 7th. And boy, has the world changed since then. And so we do a current events kind of prophecy conference, you know, every year. And this will be our fifth time doing it. Names you know, Olivier Melnick, Alex Newman, Russ Miller. You may not know Paul Wilkinson, Patrick Wood, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Melissa Hurray, who I'm doing an interview with from the Lindell Recovery Network. And it's just to, it's last day's discernment. Four to five people in the end times. If people go to profcon.com, they can register to come. We invite people to stick around Sunday morning to attend our services at nearby Sugarland Bible Church, as a lot of our conference speakers will be presenting at our church. But we've outgrown our facility, so we decided to host it at the Sugarland Marriott. So this is our first time doing that. And so exciting stuff.
Yes, yes. So friends, that's as of we're, you know, airing this podcast, that's this coming. Is it Friday and Saturday or the 20th and 21st. So make sure you guys get the information and especially if you live in that area. So Sugarland Bible Church website, could you give that to us also, Andy?
Yeah, that's slbc.org. You'll see a way to register. And then there's, if they don't like that or want to go a different route, it's profcon.com.
Okay, awesome. So I'm just going to make my note here because we're doing two podcasts with you. Make sure we get the right one up. But a lot to talk about, as always. Isn't it exhausting? And by the way, your pastor's point of view, how many are you up to now? And didn't you start that like 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, we started that as Obama was leaving office, if I remember right, around 2016, if I remember right.
Wow, he was 10 doing years?
He was doing some things with the UN at the time related to Jerusalem and, you know, pressuring as he did for a two-state solution mentality. So we just thought there were things coming upon the world that I couldn't really cover in sermons and teaching. So we started this podcast and here we are. We're already up to very close to number 400. And we just deal with current events and Bible prophecy and those types of things.
So it's interesting. One of the reasons I love you, brother, is you talk about all these things. Nothing's off limits. And a lot of pastors won't touch on some of the things you and I talk about or the guests I have on this podcast. And it really is disappointing. And so I'm thankful that you started. I didn't realize it was almost 10 years ago that you started that. No. My goodness. Wow. Okay. So did you ever think you'd be doing this many or this long?
No, I didn't. And I thought the rapture would have happened by now, but not yet. Maybe this year, you know.
You wanted it to happen. Okay.
That's right. Yeah,
it's hard. It's tedious. And you do a lot of extensive research into some of these. It's hard to keep up with everything. But we're going to talk about politics, the universities, education today. Very disappointing what's been going on. But let's talk about what the media won't talk about. And let's start with Yale. This one was in your pastor's point of view from the previous week. Now, this is not just Yale. I want to really emphasize that point because I've been tracking this at the Ivy League schools and others. But Yale achieves academic nirvana. Study cannot find a single Republican donor on the faculty. So Yale University faculty, this is not exactly a newsflash, but no Republican donors. This is a broader issue in academia. 98% of political donations went to Democrats, and not a single professor could be found who gave a donation to a Republican candidate. Andy, why is this a problem? Because it's not just Yale. Maybe that's one of the reasons it's a problem.
Yeah, in the piece, Jonathan Turley, who wrote that, mentions other schools where this is happening. But, you know, it's the Ivy League, first of all, which used to be the light of America. I mean, that's what trained our future ministers.
Yeah.
Going back to colonial times, that's why those schools were brought into existence. And now it's to a point where the biblical Christian conservative worldview is not just a minority, you know, it doesn't exist. So, it's one thing to say, gosh, our side is treated unfairly. Our side doesn't get a fair shake. It's a completely different thing to say our side doesn't exist. So that's what Turley sarcastically calls liberal nirvana. That's what they've achieved at Yale and other schools, where they've taken a perspective and they've annihilated it. They've eradicated it, which is not education. That's propaganda. It's indoctrination. It's telling people what to think, not how to think. And the Bible is very clear in the Proverbs and other places that one man always sounds right until another comes and cross-examines him. That at Yale University related to worldview is not, you know, it's one thing to say it's not going on as much as it should. It's another thing to say it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it was Abraham Lincoln who is, this quote is attributed to Lincoln. He said, "The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next." So this is where our future legislators, senators, presidents, business leaders, you name it, are coming from. And they're going to quickly move into their spheres of influence, and they're going to bring with them this mentality where the Bible and conservatism and basic biblical worldview Christianity that you espouse regularly, David, on your shows doesn't even exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the Turley piece, you know, was frightening to me.
Yeah. So before we pick on Harvard a little bit, who used to have in their shield truth for Christ in the church, and now it's just Veritas, but who's Veritas? But a quote from this article, Andy, "Academics in the U.S., Canada, and Europe have been leaning left for the past three or four generations. And this is something that shows no signs of being corrected or correcting itself anytime soon." A little later on in the article, it says, "In a country with a majority of conservative and libertarian voters, fewer than 9% of the Harvard student body, for example, and less than 3% of the faculty members identify as conservative. This, again, is higher education. Your thoughts on Harvard? And again, this is probably close to across the board, not just the Ivy League."
Well, it's our future. I've dealt with liberal bias my whole life.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with liberal bias. We're dealing with liberal dominance. It's not, dominance isn't even the right word. liberal and that's all you get, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And whatever they're doing as masquerading for education, this is not education. You know, they used to talk about we need to develop thinkers. You know, a thinker is, okay, you take side A and I'm going to take side B and let's debate. Mm-hmm. All right, let's switch it up now. Let's switch sides. I'll take the side that you were, you know, I'll take the other side and you take my side and let's argue again. That's education. They don't call you thinkers anymore. They don't use that expression. They say, we want to develop learners. There's a big difference between a learner who just swallows propaganda and a thinker. And so the whole concept of education in our most prestigious institutions, it's one thing to say it's not going on. It's another thing to say it doesn't exist anymore. And that's what Turley's talking about when he says they finally achieved nirvana. And this has been the goal all along. They always say, give us a place, give us a representation. Then they get in and they create a scenario where no one else can get in and give their ideas. And that's been the liberal agenda from day one. And I got to congratulate them. They've worked hard and long to get us there, but they finally pulled it off.
Yeah, they did. Dominance, I think, is just one word. But we're going to talk about Virginia in a minute, how the Democrats are working to, they're changing state laws and the Virginia Constitution. And just sad what's going on in that state. But here's a result. We're talking about higher education, but we know what the K-12 system produces. Social justice activists and obedient leftists. Because we just saw with the anti-ICE protests, students across the country joining protests with the strong encouragement of many public school teachers who took their students out, skipped class and went out and, you know, the signs were lovely. F Trump, F ICE, and other signs like that. Young kids, taking grade school kids and other kids out there. So we know what the left is producing with that system. But here's one of the political results. Mike, I want to bring up the voter ID graphic, and I get your take on this, Andy. Look at that. But why don't we talk about this? The media won't talk about it because, you know, we know what side the Democrat media is on. Countries with voter ID. And the question is, why isn't the U.S. on this list? We got Latvia, Spain, Brazil, Italy, Luxembourg, Ecuador, Iraq, Turkey, Kenya, Malta, Sweden. You can go on and on and on with these countries that have voter ID, but not America. And the Democrats, the majority of Democrats just voted to reject the proposal to have voter ID as being a necessity. Andy, this is one of the results, right, of what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, the Democratic Party has moved so far out of the mainstream that nobody wants to vote for him anymore. Middle America. I mean, the Democratic Party of today is not like the Democratic Party I grew up with.
Agreed.
Where you could always point to mainstream Democrats. I mean, I remember names going back like Sam Nunn and Joseph Lieberman, and there was William Casey, a pro-life Democrat in Pennsylvania at the time, Zell Miller, on and on we could go. Well, those kinds of people don't even exist anymore in the Democratic Party. So when you move that far to the left, you've got to bring in a new class of voters. And this is their new class of voters, illegals. And so that's why they're against voter identification. It's for the simple reason that as voter identification gets implemented in various states, it always is detrimental to the Democratic Party, who relies on illegal votes, you know, to get into office. Mm. You know, the Democratic Party is lousy at governing. But I tell you one thing, David, they're really good at something. I mean, they know how to, I don't know if I'm going to get you into trouble for saying this, but they know how to cheat and they know how to steal.
Yeah.
And they know how to manipulate people, and they know how to engage in fraud better than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so if they're going to excel at something, this is it. And you're taking away from them this voter identification law or would-be law. You're taking away from something that they're really good at and need to survive.
Can we just point out the fact that I believe one of the reasons that what you said is true is that, you know, we go by the Ten Commandments, and one of those is thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. They don't have the same code. They don't have the same worldview. They don't have the same morality. They don't care. They'll lie, cheat, steal, and people think it's insulting to say what you just said. I'm going, well, that's been proven. Now, you know what's amazing? Andy, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we got to take a brief pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the Virginia leftists and Democrats and socialists are doing. And it's really sad, but we'll talk about more of that with Andy Woods in a minute. Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Cobb, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. And friends, by the way, we're adding more sponsors. We've got over 2 months to promote the conference, but we're adding a lot more sponsors. If you want to go to worldviewmattersconference.com, there's a sponsor tab if you want it. If you're a Christian business or ministry that might be interested in partnering with us or sponsoring this conference, you never know. If we'll see what God does, but it would be interesting to see if we could do an annual one. So again, sponsorship is very important. The list is on the bottom of the website. There's many more to come, Lord willing. But Andy, I'll give you this opportunity one more time to get the website for your conference, ProfCon. It's not at your church, but there it is. Give the website again, please.
Yeah, it's profcon.com, or go to the Sugarland Bible Church website, slbc.org. Our conference all day Friday, February 20th, all day Saturday, and great lineup of speakers, worldview, prophecy. Yep. You guys will love it.
Good stuff. I love everyone that you have there. So, all right, now back to Virginia and the Democrats, and I'm looking at, well, there's a CBN article, but you also did an article on your pastor's point of view, a radical rewrite for one thing on abortion and taxes. They're working to change state laws. What can you tell us? First of all, people were duped, I think, because she campaigned, this Abigail Spanberger, she campaigned as a moderate, and people bought it. What happened, Andy?
Well, this is Thomas Jefferson's Virginia, the guy that wrote the Declaration of Independence, you know, Thomas Jefferson. And look at it now. You know, it was kind of moving in the better direction when Youngkin was the governor, and he barely got elected, if I remember right. But you're dealing with someone that is essentially campaigning as a moderate, but as we said a little earlier in the other side of the break, there's no such thing as a Democrat moderate. Mm-hmm. So she wants moderation, and then she gets into power with a Democrat-controlled supermajority in the legislature, the identical situation that we have out in California. And where do they go? They always go the same place. They don't go into the middle ground. They don't go into new Democrat territory. They go hard left. And as you read through that article, you'll read about everything that we hold dear, whether it's Second Amendment rights, pro-life, right to die, whatever you want to talk about. Anything that's biblical, constitutional, and normal is on the chopping block, and they are just moving hardcore left to the point where there's really no countervailing opposition anymore, to the point where it looks like Virginia runs the risk of becoming another Minnesota or California.
And that's just so sad. But one thing you said, right to die, I don't think we realize, I think we're up to 12 states now in this country that have euthanasia laws. Maybe Canada has made MAID, medical assistance in dying. But Illinois was the first one in the heartland, middle America, because of Governor Pritzker. So it's a devaluing of life, and that's been going on through the decades. But one thing they want to do in Virginia is amend the state constitution to allow abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. Now, this is not surprising, but Andy, what would our great-grandparents think just about this? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, can we just quit calling it abortion? It's infanticide.
Yeah.
I mean, you ninth month, you're kidding me. Is there some kind of dispute that what's going on in the womb of a mother is a baby and we're dealing with the ninth month? I mean, I don't even want to have the conversation at any month because I think the medical evidence is clear. But the ninth month, I mean, you might as well wait for the baby to be born and to be, you know, gasping for air on the operating table and to cut its head off. That's the moral depravity and sickness that these blue states and the left is causing us to sink into. And this is what happens when there was a book written a few years back in the 90s. It's called When the Wicked Sees a City. And it's detailing what happened in San Francisco when the left got control of it. It's narrated from the perspective of a couple of Presbyterian ministers. And they just said there was a total deterioration of the city. There was only one viewpoint allowed, and mobs would routinely show up at their churches and commit arson and damage private property and threaten people. And the book is just chilling, and it concludes this way. I'm paraphrasing. It says, coming to a theater near you. In other words, if you think this is limited to San Francisco, you're sorely naive. This is coming everywhere. And look at what's happening in Thomas Jefferson's state of Virginia.
Yeah, there it
is. I see it on the screen.
Yeah. What our great grandparents would be shocked. They wouldn't think they were in America. One more note from this article: executive orders. They're trying to sign several of those, including, no surprise, barring state and local law enforcement from cooperating with ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So, Andy, help me understand this. They're obviously not concerned, the left, the Democrats, the socialists, and some are communist, flat out. Communist policy is what some of them are pushing. They're not concerned about the laws on the laws of the land or the laws on the books, because we do have laws. You listen to Tom Homan talk about it. They're enforcing the laws. He did it, by the way, under other presidents, even Democrat presidents. But now, since it's under Trump, now the rebellion comes. You know, why? They're not trying to. Are they trying to rally their base? They think this. Go ahead. Try to help me understand this.
Well, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the Democrats loved the national government but hated states' rights. And look at what's happening now. Now the shoe is completely on the other foot. And I think it just goes back to, David, something as simple as you're deporting voters. That's what we're really upset about. It's not some, it reminds me of Judas, you know, there in, John 12, right in there, where, remember, the expensive ointment was poured on Jesus, and Judas, you know, makes this statement there in John 12 about verses 4 through 6 that, you know, this should have been sold and given to the poor. But then it says in parenthesis, he didn't care about the poor. What he cared about was money in the bag that he embezzled regularly. So these Democrats, they don't care about poor people or immigrants. They care about power and they care about votes. And this ICE, Tom Homan situation is a threat to that. And that's really what they're worried about.
So, friends, if you need a little bit more ammo on this topic, this idea of law and order, law enforcement, let's bring up this Axios article where violent crime and homicides have dropped. And these are the largest drops in 1 year from 2024 to 2025. Look at that. Orlando, 58. It's 58%, 58.3% less. Homicide. This is just homicide rates. So violent crimes are dropping since the Trump administration came in. And this is across the board pretty much. This is just one of the reasons we need law enforcement. We need them to be visible in these cities, but the blue cities are going to fight this. It's a really amazing to me, Andy. We're in a different place now. We really are. And isn't, I mean, the Bible talks about lawlessness. I mean, I think of 2 Timothy 3. I think of Isaiah 5:20, calling evil good and good evil. But what do you think? I mean, this obviously says a lot. It works. Law enforcement works. And these are substantial drops in homicide rates. But you won't hear this on the news, on the leftist media news, the Democrats in You go ahead.
Well, the left needs chaos. They thrive on chaos. Marxism thrives on chaos. Yeah. So people will call out for the heavy hand of Marxism. And so you have to sort of, you know, demonstrate to people that the current system doesn't exist. Well, with a Donald Trump in the White House, he's demonstrating that the current system is existing, and he's taken away the crisis for the Marxist. And so, you know, it's really as simple as people want power, and these declining crime rates aren't going to get them there.
Yeah, so much more. But I really, that's one, I guess, issue that I'm a little surprised by. I'm not shocked that the left would try to, because as you said, chaos. They're all about chaos, and then Cloward Piven, right? Overwhelm the system, and then provide a solution. And usually it's government, right? Government's God. Government's the solution. But I'm surprised that people will still vote Democrat, even though they're doing all this. It's a little confusing to a lot of people. Andy, your final thoughts?
Well, the last election cycle shows that people have the ability to wake up. Mm. I mean, a lot of non-traditional voters did not vote for Democrat, voted for the other side because of what the Democrats under Biden, you know, had done to the country for 4 years. And so what you're watching right now is the left in a place of desperation. Mm. I haven't seen them this desperate since I've been following politics. And, you know, essentially, you need a new class of voters. Where are we going to get them from? Aha, illegal immigrants or prisoners or, you know, whoever. Yeah. So they're always trying to expand the rules, you know, related to voting down on voter ID. And that's what's really fueling this. And I think they're going to continue to act crazy as long as our side has the upper hand on a few issues.
And Andy knows what he's talking about. He's down there close to the southern border. And, you know, Texas has changed even a lot. We can do a whole podcast on that and maybe talk about the mosques and everything else. But for a future one, Andy, to be continued with you, brother. Thanks so much for your time.
David, great to be here. Thanks for what you do.
Appreciate it. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. Remember the conference coming up this weekend there. Friends, thank you so much for sharing the podcast. That's how we're getting out there. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.